The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held at Waits Lake Bible Camp near Valley, Washington, on October 19 and 20, 2023.
Okay, when you administer the achievement tests, at the bottom of the student response sheet, there are three sets of curriculum codes you can enter, one for reading, one for math, one for language. And you fill out CLE or RNS or EMP or whatever particular code that you're using. You can have your students do that. If you send the raw scores in for the younger students, you can also enter that information as well. That is our curriculum survey. And then what we do is we correlate the curriculum that gets used with each test with the results of those tests. And it's optional. I've had people tell me, well, don't make it optional, require it. Well, I'm not sure how you force people to fill out that information, but I think we hear back from about half of our schools as to what curriculum they use. And so we take that information there. The description says CatForms LLC has been tracking CAT scores for years in correlating them with the curriculum publisher behind those students and scores. And then it talks about some of the questions that could be asked. What curriculum consistently produces better results? Does the same publisher always score higher in every subject? And how do Anabaptist publishers rank with those curriculums which are produced by larger, well-known companies? And we could dive into looking at the charts. There's a separate page for reading, for math, and for language. But to really have to understand what we can understand and not to draw wrong conclusions, we really need to look at the instructions that go along with it. If you have a page that says overview, notice the curriculum survey that you have in hand is dated 2018 to 2023. I think that was through tests that we scored about the middle of July, so it would be the large bulk of the tests that were taken in the last school year, and then going back to 2018. So we have a six-year period covered there. And it uses Saint-9 scores for comparisons between different curriculums. This is underneath the overview there. Under each curriculum, you will see two columns. The first is the number of students in a given grade level who use that curriculum. The second is the mean or average Saint-9 score for that curriculum at that grade level. And if you want to look at the paper, the reading curriculum survey, I just want to make sure you understand what that is. If you're in the reading section, you've got five different curriculum headings: ABB, which is Abeka, CLE, EMP, which is Eastern, and then PWY is Pathway, and RNS obviously is Rod and Staff. If you look under the ABB, you see two columns there. The one has got a pound sign there. That's simply a number of students. And then beside it is STAN, that would be the average Saint-9 score. And the first grouping you see there is for grade one. And notice that there were 78 students that were reported as using Abeka for their reading in first grade. And then the average Saint-9 scores for vocabulary was 8.0, comprehension 7.7, and then the total for reading was 7.9. So does that make sense? Kind of anchors you there. Just follow that pattern whenever you are looking at these. Now let's go back to the first page again. If you're not familiar with achievement test scores, we talked about that in our workshop this morning. The C9 is a simplified ranking scale of 1 through 9 based on the national percentile score. And then it gives the description of what the different numbers stand for. Basically, 1 is the lowest possible score a student can get, 5 is average, and 9 is the highest level. And so it's all within those boundaries. On the right side, you see the curriculum abbreviations in case you get confused looking at some of the others. And then these are color-coded, except the copies you got, I don't believe, have color. But if you order one from us or we email you one, they're shades of green and pink. And green is good, and pink is not so good. And white or real light gray is average. And so that's what this means right below the C9 description there. The mean C9 scores in the survey are shown in colored boxes. Shades of green for scores over 6.5. No shade for a score of 6.5. And shades of pink and red for scores under 6.5. Now you wonder where we came up with a 6.5. Why aren't we using 5? Since 5 stands for average. Well, in italics below that, the tests we have on record have better than average scores compared with original 1970 norms. That's being compared with 1970 public school students. And that's why we have placed the shading midpoint at 6.5 rather than 5. So even if somebody has, if you see a pink bracket, if it's over 5, it's still above average compared to public school students. It's just, it's below average compared to what we're seeing here. Now, some of these notes are actually pretty important. First of all, they're ordered left to right alphabetically by curriculum. We didn't organize them by quantity of students, simply alphabetically in each section. If there were student quantities of less than 50, we did not report a curriculum because that's simply too small a number. It may only represent a couple of schools, and so we don't want to make comparisons where we shouldn't. Also, number 3, use caution in comparing curriculums with few students in a grade level, even if it's more than 50. The more students, the higher the level of confidence in the results. More schools equal more students equal more schools represented, a better cross-section of student abilities, and less influence on test scores by individual teachers. So you just get more confidence as you see the numbers in the first column increasing. And maybe turning back to the reading again, notice there are only 78 first graders listed as using a BECA reading, but then you have 1,444 CLE students and over 2,000 Eastern students, and then it goes down again, 221 for Pathway and 309 for Rod and Staff. So just take note of the quantities of students there. The bigger the number, the more confident you can be in what you're seeing there. And then number 5, I think, is very important so that we don't put too much emphasis on the numbers that we see here. When interpreting a survey, keep in mind that correlation does not prove causation. Other factors besides the actual effectiveness of a curriculum will affect test scores. For example, schools that use one curriculum may tend to have smaller class sizes or a lower student-to-teacher ratio than schools which use another curriculum. Also, one curriculum may introduce concepts earlier or later than another curriculum, which will also affect scores. Now, talking about correlation and causation, we'll look in a little bit more detail here. But basically, you see one category scoring highly. Well, then ask yourself, what other ways are the high-scoring students doing besides the curriculum they're using? I'm curious, do any of you use almost an entirely individualized school system? Okay, that doesn't surprise me. How many of you may use a mix of having class subjects and then individualized subjects where students basically work on their own? Okay. How many of you pretty much stick with the traditional format of classroom arrangement and classes for each subject? Okay. And so the curriculum you use may not entirely be defined by the curriculum. It may be your teaching format. Also notice number 6, as you will notice in inspecting the results, there is not a significant difference in test scores among most curriculums. If you thought there's going to be some magical answer, there isn't. Therefore, consider other factors that may affect your choice, such as cost, doctrinal issues, school history, teacher preferences, and parental input before making significant changes in your curriculum. Maybe just one comment. You notice that I put doctrinal issues in there. There are a lot of our schools that use Abeka in some particular subject, or maybe multiple subjects. And I just heard that Abeka came out with a new social studies, I think it was seventh grade, and it showed a fighter jet on the cover of the textbook. And whoever I was talking to said, yeah, we immediately switched to CLE, social studies. They sent the Abeka books back, and they said, okay, they've crossed the line here. And so doctrinal issues may affect it. Abeka is usually a very good curriculum, and you'll notice that especially in math. But in some areas, doctrinal issues may have to trump that. Okay, looking at some details then about the curriculum survey, I was just talking to someone who said they just love to look at numbers and try to figure out the whys behind them. And so it seems like the more you look at some of these, the more, oh, okay, that makes sense. Let's look at the reading curriculum survey. A lot of our customer schools start with one curriculum and then switch to another one several grades down the road. Can you figure out what it is by looking at the survey here? You probably know already, but by looking at the survey, can you figure that out?
Start with Eastern and switch to Rod and Staff?
Yes. Was that what you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say they're switching to either Rod and Staff or CLE.
Okay. excuse me. Eastern is seems to have a very solid learning to read program, and you notice that by the quantities of students as well as the scores. You look at the total for grade one in reading, Eastern has an 8.0, Rod and Staff does too, but Eastern has 2,072 students compared to only 309 in Rod and Staff. Now, Abeka and CLE have 7.9, so whenever there's a couple tenths of a percentage point difference between them, I would not call that significant at all. We could say they're pretty much on a par with each other. But you notice then that the numbers for Rod and Staff grow in second grade. Eastern, they shrink a little bit. And by third grade, it looks like most of those switched over to Rod and Staff. I've noticed that over the years, that's a very common pattern. Curious, do any of your schools use that pattern? Okay, there are some. That seems to be very solid and workable there. Now, I was talking to someone just a few weeks ago, and they said that they switch, they use Eastern in first grade and then switch to CLE in second grade. And he wasn't sure that was a good idea, and just I told him that's not very common to do that. If you are a CLE school, I think there's a very good program there, and you notice it is commonly used among our customers. I think for that particular curriculum, you're best starting in first grade and continuing it on through, just because the style is a little bit different, and I'm afraid the crossover in that direction will be much more problematic. Now, what else do you notice on the reading page?
Pathway drops out.
Pathway drops out. Okay. Question is why?
Probably the questions are not very refined. They're not real developed. They don't teach as much critical thinking as the other curriculums you have.
Okay. I'm curious, do any of you use the Pathway Readers? And this is not a shame thing. Have they been revised at all in the last 20 years. I don't know if they have. But there's something else, another factor, I think, that probably has more to do with it than the fact that they haven't been revised recently. Which schools would you expect to use pathway reading? Amish schools. In what way are Amish schools different from most of our Mennonite schools?
Not represented in this document. Not represented on this document. Or maybe you have a lot of Amish.
We do have a fair amount of Amish schools. We have 170 or so.
It likely stopped at grade 8 most of them.
Okay. You do notice that pathway stops at grade 8. I don't think they offer anything beyond that. That would be one thing.
One-room schools with one teacher.
Okay, that's a good point.
Another language that's maybe more dominant.
That is the one that, to me, that's probably the biggest reason. You have Amish students, they're ESL students, English as a second language. They come to school, if there is a kindergarten, which most Amish schools would not have, they learn English, they're basically learning it in first grade. And as soon as they walk out the door, maybe even before, what do? They switch back to Pennsylvania Dutch. They talk it to their parents, they talk it until they walk in the door, and I don't know how strict Amish schools are about it in, requiring English in the classroom, but to me that's probably one of the most significant things that are affecting the pathway scores. So there's multiple factors, and it's good to think about, you know, what all is taking place here. Now, if you look across the board, horizontally, what do you notice about lower grade and upper grade scores, even in the same curriculum? The lower grade score higher, okay? I'd invite your speculation as to why that is. Okay. Okay.
This isn't reading survey. This is a reading survey. And in the lower grades, reading is a far more central part of the curriculum.
Okay. In other words, there's more higher performance is required since they're learning to read in the younger grades. Okay, that's a possibility. Okay. Students have to learn more in the upper grades. Now, I have lots of time to look at this, so there's another factor, though, that I think plays a part, and I don't know if I can fully explain it. But keep thinking.
They take more breaks.
They take more breaks?
During the administering the test.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought about that. That might be a possibility. He said that maybe they take more breaks in administering the test. You're saying like the younger students. And so they're a little bit less stressed or whatever. Now remember, the two reading sections are at the very beginning of achievement tests. For most schools, at least, that's where they would start. So I don't know if that would play much of a factor or not. These Saline scores are compared to 1970 public school students. Now, does that play any part in the fact that we got lots of good numbers at the top first grade level and lesser good numbers at the bottom. I don't know. Good question. One thing I thought about, and I'm up here wrong. What do you think the public schools learning to read program is like compared to ours? I'd say not very good. And it's possible, in my mind, that it's just our Mennonite curriculums. Now, you do have a Becca there, too. That would still be a conservative Christian, if you want to use that term, curriculum. That they're better designed, especially stronger in phonics, than what the high school or what the public school students were that are used as a comparison base. So do our students actually decline as they go up in their grades, or is it just that the younger ones are so much better than the corresponding public school students in the younger grades, and the difference is smaller as they get older? I don't know, but to me that's something else to think about. One other thing I'd like to point out here before we move on to math. If you compare CLE with the Eastern and Rod and Staff combination, you notice that the differences are fairly small, and yet as you get into the older grades especially, Rod and Staff does tend to be a little bit stronger than CLE as far as the grades. Now, one question I would have, if you teach Rod and Staff, you would typically be having class with your reading students, wouldn't you? Maybe reading a story together, answering questions in class. Someone who is familiar with the Rod and Staff, that would be pretty typical. I wonder how many CLE schools have their students do their reading on their own. I think it's more common that way, and therefore the class format may make all the difference between those two sets of grades. If you had CLE and you had reading class with them just like Rod and Staff schools do, I doubt you'd see any difference at all, but I could be wrong. Okay, let's move on to the math curriculum survey. Take a couple minutes, look it over, and tell me what you notice. Okay. Mm-hmm. You see that drop off again, and if you looked at language, I think you noticed the same thing. Abeka scores fairly well in math compared to the Mennonite curriculums. The numbers aren't hugely different. First grade, it's only 2/10 of a point higher than CLE and foundational math. But then, especially through about grade 6 and even 7, Abeka is stronger than our Mennonite curriculums are. I don't think that's necessarily a reason to change. If you do use Abeka, I don't know that, you know, I'm not going to, I'm not a curriculum representative for either CLE or Rod and staff, but they have a fairly good program. Now, my personal experience, I only taught at Becca as a substitute teacher a few times, and I thought it was much less user-friendly than our Mennonite curriculums. I remember especially the one math, you jumped here, and then you went back a few more pages, and you covered this, and then you're supposed to jump another page and cover this, and it seemed just really confusing to me. So maybe I'm a little biased against Becca because of that, but that would be my observation. I have another theory about the way that the math scores fall off, and we don't have a lot of data in the higher grades. CLE goes to 11th grade, and there weren't enough 12th graders to put on the list here, but the scores aren't just terribly high especially in those grades. And besides the fact that maybe the comparison between public schools and private schools is a little bit different, would there be any other possible reason why those might fall off if you're familiar with giving achievement tests? Yes, that is definitely correct. If you go through like level 4 and level 5, there is quite a bit of variation from the test to what they would have studied. Another thing, the test, on the achievement test, they are not allowed to use calculators. So would that suggest why there's a little bit of a drop-off there too? If students are used to using calculators for at least a fair amount of their work, and then they come to a test and are not allowed to use it, I think that may have some impact there as well. Do any of you use foundational math? Okay, we have just a few that do. This is obviously a fairly new curriculum. I'd say probably started about 15 years ago, something like that. And it's put out by the Paradise School. And I don't have a lot of experience with it. In the lower grades, scores are quite good. But then in the upper grades, they kind of drop off just like everybody else does, including CLE, or maybe even just a little bit worse. And so I don't just have a whole lot of feedback on that, but it's not a bad choice. But if you're looking to switch to foundational math because you've got problems in the other curriculums and you think this will be a fix, maybe, but based on this, it's not significantly different. Okay, and then looking at the language curriculum survey, now, one thing that's a little bit different here, if you look down the far left column, you have grade 1, and then you have auditing, mechanics, usage and structure, total, and then spelling. And that's because spelling is not included in the language total, and yet it belongs in the language category. So that's why you have that difference there. One thing I noticed is that Rod and staff significantly does better in spelling, I think all the way down, compared to both Abeka and CLE. Those of you that use Rod and staff, can you give us any ideas why?
It's hard.
Okay.
Spelling is actually a separate subject. It's not included in the English curriculum, right?
I think that's correct. Yeah. So to me, that's probably one of the major differences there. There's more emphasis placed on it. It's a totally different subject. And I can't speak to whether it's hard or not, but rod and staff does tend to be fairly demanding on some of their courses. So that rings true. Okay.
I think we'll see those numbers correlate here. Typically.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I think that's pretty much all that I have for comments. Anything else that you're seeing or any other questions or observations? I think we can definitely see the blessings of constant building and improvement. If you'd gone back 40 years, rod and staff and CLE both wouldn't have looked that good. And the publishers have constantly been working on improving what they have, and we can be very thankful for that. And by the way, they are looking for curriculum writers. Do I need to make any advertisements for that? Yes. For that, I'm guessing the class format plays as big a role as any. A Becca would be very traditional class, sit around the table, do work on the chalkboard. CLE might have a little less of that, although CLE is becoming more and more classroom friendly as far as textbooks and so on. Anyone want to add to that? Okay, thank you.